Tragedy on the Slopes, Carmel Schreyer, Series Editor Bob Hastings. Chapter 1. Happy New Year. Sam Kavanaugh and Blake Morstad were great skiers and even better friends. They met at Montana State University. In 2002, Sam earned his bachelor's degree in civil engineering, and Blake graduated in mechanical engineering. Blake was an excellent student and was given the Gold Medal Award from the Montana Society of Engineers. After graduating, Sam went to work for the Montana Department of Transportation, while his friend Blake continued his university studies. Because Blake loved to ski, it seemed natural for him to want to learn more about snow. Understanding how snow is formed and changed by weather conditions helps to predict when avalanches may happen. In 2004, Blake received his master's degree in mechanical engineering. During these busy years, Sam and Blake always took time to enjoy the outdoors together. They both loved nature and had many adventurous hobbies. For example, Sam was a keen cyclist and was on the university cycling team. He also liked to hunt and to ride horses. His friend Blake loved rock climbing and other extreme sports. During their summer vacation, they often did these activities together while on camping trips in the rough backcountry of Montana. And of course, during the winter, they loved going skiing and camping in the mountains. Sam and Blake were experienced skiers, and they knew about the dangers of the sport. As a safety measure, they always told friends and family where they were going. They knew that nobody should ever go skiing alone. They always brought reliable equipment. They checked the weather reports, and of course, they knew about the risk of avalanches. Blake even wrote magazine articles about avalanche awareness. Late in December 2004, Sam and Blake went on a special skiing and camping trip with three old friends, Matt Schuyler, Jason Thompson, and Chris Maki. Since they had graduated from university, these five friends' lives had gone in separate directions, following different careers. Some of them were now married. In fact, Blake, who had gotten married in 2002, had some special news to share. His wife, Addie, was expecting their first child. He was also going to start a new job in Los Alamos, New Mexico. These five friends wanted to spend some time together before Blake became a father and had to move away with his family. They were all looking forward to the chance to have fun together, like in the good old days of their university years. They also wanted to celebrate Blake's exciting future. They decided to go to Nemesis Mountain, a 2,846-meter mountain in the Centennial Mountain Range. It is a remote area near the border with Wyoming, not far from Yellowstone National Park. To get to their campsite, the young men first drove to a small town. From there, they traveled by snowmobile. Then they had to hike in the deep snow for several more kilometers. They had to carry all their equipment, including their skis, on their backs. It was hard work, but these five friends were strong young men in their early 20s. Sam, Blake, Matt, Jason, and Chris were all athletes and were familiar with the location. They were experienced skiers, and two of them had certificates in emergency medical training. They thought nothing could go wrong, but if it did, they would be prepared. During the day, the five friends skied across broad hills and snowy fields. They avoided steep slopes. It snowed a lot during this time. This added fresh layers of powdery new snow to the thick white blanket that had been waiting for them when they first arrived at Nemesis Mountain. This is what they all loved and what they had been hoping for. At night, they partied together in their big tent, which they had reserved at the campsite. The tent was owned by an adventure camping company and was equipped with a wood-burning stove. It was a simple place, but for these five friends, there was no better way to celebrate New Year's Eve. It was a night they would never forget. The morning of New Year's Day 2005 was the last day of their ski trip. It was a perfect day to be out on the slopes and a perfect way to start the new year. They had discussed the possibility of avalanches, but the soft, powdery snow felt safe. They decided to continue skiing all day. By the end of the afternoon, all the skiers were happy, but quite tired. The wind had gotten stronger, but they had not noticed. They had also skied into an area where the slopes were steeper than on previous days. Finally, it was time to return to their lives and obligations in the city. Someone suggested going back to the tent to start packing up. But then, at the last minute, Blake said he wanted to go for one last run. Chapter 2. A Disaster Waiting to Happen. An avalanche is the sudden movement of snow down a slope, such as a hill or mountain. It is common in snowy places. An avalanche is only a disaster when people are killed or injured. Most avalanches happen naturally, far away from humans, so they pose no danger to people. These avalanches are triggered by natural events, such as large amounts of snowfall, rainfall, rock falls, or ice falls. Some avalanches are triggered by human activity, such as mountain climbing, skiing, snowboarding, and snowmobiling. Noise does not cause an avalanche. Avalanches consist either of loose snow or slabs of snow. The amount of water in the snow can make a big difference in an avalanche starting. There are four main kinds of avalanches: wet loose snow avalanches, dry loose snow avalanches, wet slab avalanches, dry slab avalanches. Slab avalanches can be further classified as either soft slab or hard slab. There are also types according to size and length. In the United States, a Class 1 avalanche is small, running down a slope less than 50 meters, whereas a Class 5 avalanche is a major event. It is possible to avoid causing avalanches. Experts give this advice: never cross a slope at its middle. Try to stay along the edges of a slope. Pay attention to avalanche forecasts. Travel in groups. Carry safety equipment. Chapter 3. Tragedy Strikes. What happened next changed the friends' lives forever. Someone screamed out, "Avalanche!" Sam looked up the slope and saw a huge cloud of powdery snow moving in his direction. Sam was an experienced mountain skier and knew what to do. He raced towards the biggest tree he could see and held on tightly. In an avalanche, the snow can move as fast as 130 kilometers an hour after only 5 seconds. The force of the moving snow was so strong that it pulled Sam from the tree. He became part of the avalanche, falling more than 50 meters. At some point during those terrifying moments, Sam heard a snapping sound. When his body finally came to a stop, Sam knew that he was lucky to be alive, but his leg was badly injured. Sam stared at the boot on his left foot. It was facing backward. He could see 8 centimeters of bone sticking out of a tear in his pants. He could also see blood coming out through his pants from a 40-centimeter cut in his lower leg. Although severely injured, Sam didn't panic and managed to stay focused. Maki, Skyler, and Thompson had stayed out of the path of the avalanche and were not injured. They could communicate with Sam by shouting across the slope. But with a sense of horror, they realized that Blake was missing. Despite the terrible pain, Sam turned his leg back to its normal position. Then he set his locator beacon to search and slid down the slope towards his friends. Meanwhile, the other men's locator beacons had helped them find Blake's backpack. Maki, Skyler, and Thompson began to dig with their hands as quickly as they could. Blake was buried face down in the snow. The three lifted him out and began CPR. People have a 90% chance of surviving an avalanche if found within 15 minutes. It had already been about 10 minutes. They hoped Blake had been able to breathe under the snow, but there was no response from Blake. His neck was broken. Maki, Skylar, and Thompson were shocked by the loss of their friend, but they had no time to lose. They had another priority: to help Sam. He was bleeding heavily and near death. It took the three uninjured friends 2 hours to pull Sam back to their campsite, only 360 meters away. To help stop the bleeding, they tied a sleeping bag around Sam's leg. No one knew if he would be alive in the morning. The survivors needed to be rescued quickly. Unfortunately, there was no phone signal, so they had no way to call for help. In the morning, Maki and Skylar started down the mountain. They walked through snow that was as high as their chests. They found a search and rescue team who arranged a helicopter rescue. But the weather turned bad, and the rescue was delayed until the following day. Meanwhile, a doctor went to the campsite. Sam had lost over half his blood and was in danger of kidney failure. The doctor thought Sam would die before the helicopter arrived, but Sam had a strong will to live. Later, Sam said he survived those 2 nights by imagining himself at home with his wife. The next day, weather conditions improved and a helicopter rescue operation was carried out. Sam was taken to hospital, but he was still in danger. Sam's leg injury was serious and hard to treat. The leg was also badly infected. Doctors were worried that the infection would spread through Sam's body and kill him. For more than a week, doctors tried their best to help Sam fight off the infection. In the end, they had a difficult decision to make. 11 days after the tragic accident that killed Blake, doctors amputated Sam's left leg below the knee. Losing a leg is difficult for anyone, but especially for someone like Sam Kavanaugh. He loved, more than anything, to be outside, enjoying the freedom of sports. He loved being a part of nature. Learning to accept the limits of living as an amputee would be very difficult indeed. Sam had to learn to cope with his new life, while at the same time getting over Blake's death. He and his friends also had to cope with the effect of Blake's death on Blake's family and community. An investigation into the avalanche and the rescue was being carried out. The report later stated that the avalanche had been caused by Blake, who had been skiing highest on the slope. It was the beginning of a very difficult time in Sam's life. Chapter 4. Life Goes On. The avalanche investigation report led to criticism of Blake, Sam, and the others. Some avalanche experts stated that the friends had not been careful enough that terrible day. The campsite owner had warned Blake that the snowpack was unsafe. There had been avalanches in the area earlier, which indicated a risk of additional avalanches. Also, when the avalanche struck, 3 of the skiers were on the slope at the same time, which some said proved that the skiers had not been paying attention. It was suggested that they had not tested the snow for safety. These statements were published in the media, which was upsetting for the friends. What's more, the cost of the rescue was also being debated in the community. Sam and his friends found themselves having to examine their behavior. Life went on. Blake Samuel Morstad was born on February 5, 2005, 5 weeks after his father's death. Sam was depressed. His injuries were painful, and he was angry about how difficult it was for him to do things that had once been so easy. His friends tried to help him figure out what to do with his life. He returned to work as a civil engineer, but he hated his prosthetic leg and missed being an athlete. Sam's wife suggested he try cycling again. It was a sport he enjoyed. He had cycled competitively in college. On the bicycle, he found freedom once again. With his confidence growing, Sam tried skiing too. In December 2005, less than a year after the tragedy, Sam put his prosthetic leg into ski boots for the first time. He says that more than anything else, it was skiing that helped him recover. Sam made a decision. He would not let the loss of his friend Blake or his prosthetic leg stop him from living life to the fullest. He knew that Blake would never want him to quit being an active and passionate athlete and nature lover. Sam started cycling competitively again. In 2006, he attended a development camp for Paralympic athletes in Colorado. The coaches at the camp were impressed by his performance, and they invited him to train with the U.S. Paralympics track cycling team. He competed in the national championships, and his results improved quickly. Sam had spent a lifetime being an athlete, and his fitness and muscle memory quickly returned. Life was good again. By 2009, Sam was a world-class Paralympian. He placed 4th and 5th in races at the IPC Track World Championships in Manchester, England. In 2010, Sam came in first in the Challenge International Stage Race in Bayonne, France, and in September 2012, he won a bronze medal at the London Paralympics for the cycling team sprint. Sam also speaks to audiences, motivating people to be the best they can be. He wants others to learn from his experience, not only to avoid danger on the slopes, but also to see that disability is created in the mind, not by the loss of a leg. Sam offers this message of hope and survival of the spirit in memory of his friend, Blake Morstad. Chapter 5. What do you think? The men in this story were skiing when their friend lost his life. Skiing is a common sport, but it can still be dangerous, as the story shows. There are many people who enjoy other dangerous sports. What do you think of extreme sports? Are they worth the risk? There are already many extreme sports, and probably many more to be invented. How many of these sports have you heard of? Extreme sports in the air. Hang gliding. Bungee jumping. Ski jumping. Skydiving. Extreme land sports. Caving. Mountain biking. Speed skiing. Lugeing. Extreme water sports. Around the world yacht racing. Whitewater kayaking. Powerboat racing. Scuba diving. Even though they can be very dangerous, some of these extreme sports like ski jumping, lugeing, and whitewater kayaking are regular events at the Olympic Games. Despite the safety measures taken during the Games, tragedies do occur. For example, immediately before the 2010 Vancouver Olympics, Nodar Kumaritashvili of Georgia died when his luge crashed during a training run. This tragic accident was due to going too fast on a poorly designed track. Many people believe that dangerous events should be forbidden in championships. What do you think? Should people be free to participate in extreme sports despite the level of danger involved? Should extreme sports be included in international competitions like the Olympic Games?